in the groove. That's how I would describe what it feels like to be in tune with God and in alignment with God's Spirit. That's what it means to live life in the Spirit, through the guidance of the Spirit. Last week we talked about Pentecost, when God first poured out His Holy Spirit on the disciples. And we watched as those confused and fearful disciples right there at the end of the Gospels suddenly became these amazing, powerful, bold, fearless apostles of the early church. We also saw how they were united in this amazing, powerful way, unlike anything that they'd ever experienced before. But God wasn't through with them yet. God did all that for a reason, because He had a plan and a purpose. And one of the things that we learn about the Holy Spirit is that one of the reasons that God sent the Spirit was that so it might guide those apostles and guide us into truth, so that it might guide us in terms of our life and ministry and in the growth of the church. And so it answered for them some really important questions, like, what do we do next? And where do we go? And to whom do we go? And those are the same questions that we find ourselves asking even today. How can I follow the Holy Spirit? How can I be in tune and in the groove and in alignment with what God would call us to do now? And I can tell you as a pastor that the answers to those questions have some really profound ramifications, real practical kinds of ramifications. So I'm just going to be speaking a little bit from my experience today as being guided by the Spirit. And interestingly enough, Pastor Brian preached on this same text last night, and we'll again hear it Starting Point, and he shared the story of how he came to be at First Christian Church, just like I'm going to do here in a minute. And it was neat, because we hadn't talked about that this was something that we were going to do. Again, evidence, I think, of the Spirit at work. So going back probably close to 7 years now, I had the sense that the Spirit was moving in my life and that it was time for me to begin wrapping up my, and a lot of signs that indicated that it was time for me to wrap up my ministry in Ohio and begin searching for that next place that God would show me. But this time was different than any other time that I've ever experienced that. I talked to I don't know how many different churches from Northeast Ohio on the shore of Lake Erie, where they routinely get 2, 3, 4 feet of snow, lake effect snow during the winter, don't think anything of it, all the way to San Diego, California, Newport Beach, got a church call from a church that's right on the ocean, where it's 75 degrees and sunny every day. It's paradise year round. But interestingly enough, doors just kind of kept slamming shut, either on my end or on their end, and it was obvious that God had other plans for me. In the past, when I felt the Spirit move, things usually went pretty fast. The Spirit moved, and then the next thing I knew, I was moving too. But this time, it wasn't at all like that. I do have to confess that we did think long and hard about that San Diego thing, though. In fact, I put them off. They wanted to fly us out there to see it and to visit, and I put them off answering for about a week. We thought about it, and we fantasized about it, and finally I called them, and I said, I don't even want to come out, because I'm afraid that you'll like me, and I'm afraid that I'll like you, and then I'll have to move out there and never see my family ever again, or at least not very often. But the Spirit moves in amazing ways, and really through it all, I continued to pray the prayer that Jesus prayed: not my will but thine be done, or not my will but yours be done. I wanted to have that sense that I was in the groove, that I was following God's leading, that I was in tune with His Spirit, that I was doing what I was led to do. And so the first time I heard about First Christian Church of Keokuk was actually in the summer of 2011, I think, and it was at the General Assembly. I know I was at the General Assembly. I know I was sitting at a luncheon for LTS, my seminary, with a classmate by the name of Charlie Wallace. Charlie's been here to this church. He was a missionary in Haiti, and I know a lot of people got to know him that way, but he's been to visit as well. Told me that this church was going to be opening up. He knew I was in the search process, but it was still like 6 months out before you guys were even going to get started. So he knew about it pretty early, and I at that point, I didn't think much of it because I figured I'd already be someplace by then. But again, the Spirit moves in peculiar ways. And to make a long story at least a little bit shorter, from the first time that I talked with the search committee via Skype, which I haven't hardly used since, and so I see some people nodding that were on the search committee. I was sitting in my kitchen in Dayton, Ohio. The search committee was here somewhere in the building talking to me on the other end. From that moment until my first Sunday in the pulpit on Palm Sunday 2012, I have felt like I was living in tune with God, that this was where I was supposed to be, and that God had called me here, and that it was really an answer to prayer, but also an answer to a response to what God was asking. And there were other signs too. For instance, Tammy was able to get a job, and that's not a given thing when you come and you've got really specific geographic requirements that's going to happen. The other thing that we did, we sold our house right in the middle of one of the worst housing crises ever, and we got a good price for it. And again, another sign. We tried to sell it a couple years before that, didn't even get a single nibble, and this time we were able to sell it. And then kind of the frosting on the cake was that when we moved here, and I told my daughter that Culver Stockton was just down the road from us, where I graduated, she had tried taking some classes, but just hadn't really been all that interested, decided she wanted to come with us and go to Culver Stockton, and just graduated 2 weeks ago with an accounting degree. And so we're proud of her for that. But again, another one of those signs that God is kind of working, that the Spirit is working behind the scenes. It took a while, but sometimes that's how the Spirit works. Sometimes the Spirit says, no, you're not going there, even though you might want to, or even though it might seem like a good idea. Something happens and you just get this sense that's not where you're supposed to be, and sometimes God says wait, time isn't just right, and sometimes it becomes obvious right where you're supposed to be. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, and I think it's a beautiful example of what it looks like to listen to the Spirit and to be responsive to the Spirit. And in this case, sometimes the book of Acts is sometimes described as the gospel of the Holy Spirit, because it really, Jesus is now out of the picture, and now it's the Holy Spirit that's at work, guiding, empowering, but also guiding the disciples. And we see a great example of this in the Apostle Paul, and we see how practical this was for him and for his mission. So we begin reading in chapter 16 at verse 6. It says they. This is kind of an interesting text, and I just thought about this morning. Luke wrote this, and so whenever he says they, that usually indicates that he wasn't with them. Whenever he says we, it indicates that he was with them as they were traveling. We see a transition from they to we in this text, so I think he must have joined the group at some point during this time. So Luke is writing, and he says, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen this vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. Now, having been in the search and call process in the Christian church, I kind of feel like I can understand what Paul was going through here. He knew that he was called to be a servant of Jesus and to share the good news. He knew that hadn't changed, but everywhere he went, it seemed like the Spirit was telling him, no, you're not supposed to go there. So he tried to go to Asia. The Spirit said, no. We don't know what that looked like for him, but he just had the sense, I'm not supposed to go there. And so then he tried to go to Bithynia. And once again, the Spirit nixed that idea and said, no, you're not going to go there either. And so he went on to Troas. And it was sometime in the night that he got this vision of a man from Macedonia that was calling him to come there. And so Paul responded to that call and was ready to go. From the outside, it looked like he was just going in circles, but Paul wasn't. Paul was ready to respond when that call finally came. And something I love about this story is that God's answer of no was just as good to Paul as an answer of yes. He didn't pout when God said no. He figured God knew better than him anyway where he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to do. And I think that's a great model for us too. It doesn't mean we don't continue to try to do good things. It doesn't mean that we don't go to places where we think God might want us to serve, but to do things. But it also means remaining open to however the Spirit might move, even when the Spirit might guide us to go someplace or do something that we hadn't expected or that we didn't even necessarily want to do. That's often how the Spirit works. Now, having said that, let me say just a quick word about what happens when it never really becomes entirely clear what the Spirit is calling you to do or where the Spirit may be calling you to go. One of the very first times I had a big move to make, I had a very stark kind of choice before me, and I really wanted to know it. Where am I supposed to go, God? I want to have a sense that I'm following where you're leading. And I went to this older, wiser Methodist pastor. Now I think about it, he was probably about as old as I am now, but he seemed pretty ancient to me. And I figured he'd know what to say. And so I'll never forget what he told me. And he said, David, sometimes God doesn't have an opinion on a thing. And he said, try to imagine yourself going to either place, and know that wherever you choose, God's going to be with you, and he's going to support you, and you're going to do great things. He's going to be with you in that ministry. He said, but pay attention to the Spirit too, because sometimes God does have an opinion, and sometimes he's going to lead you to some place that maybe isn't the comfy place that you'd hoped you might be sent, like San Diego, California, for instance. Now, I've been talking a lot about pastors and churches because that's what I know best, because that's been my experience. But I also know that God wants to guide and direct your lives as well. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to live in that groove and know what it's like to live life in the Spirit. And really, that's what God has been doing forever. He's been calling the faithful to trust him, even when that requires kind of a leap of faith on our part. And of course, the answer to that can be one of many. But some people will choose to go their own way anyway. Even when the answer seems to be relatively clear, they'll choose to go their own way. But occasionally, someone like you comes along who really does desire to love God with heart, soul, strength, and mind, who really does want to do what God is calling you to do. And when that call comes, be ready to respond. And when that direction becomes clear, I can tell you that there is no better feeling than that sense that you are responding to those dreams and those visions that God is sending. Just like he sent to Paul, that you are right there walking in the Spirit and that your path is clear. There's nothing like that feeling of really having that sense that you're in the groove, that you're walking right where you're supposed to be at exactly the right time, exactly where you're supposed to be. But even when that happens, let me just say that it isn't always an easy thing, and it's not always an automatic thing. Even when it's clear that this is what you're supposed to do, it still takes courage, and it still takes faith, and sometimes it can require a leap of faith as well, even when it's pretty clear where God wants you to go and what he wants you to do. It's kind of like a story that came out of World War II during the Blitzkrieg in London, when the Germans were bombing the city every night. And the story goes that there was a father and his young son, and they were in one of these buildings that got bombed. And the father knew that if they didn't get out of the building, that it was probably going to fall down around them. And so they ran out into the night, into the space, the yard in front of the building. And the father saw a big shell hole where a bomb had dropped, and it was a deep hole, deep enough that they could both get into it, and it could kind of serve as shelter until the attack was over. So the father jumped down inside of it, and he looked up. It was over his head. He looked up, and he could see his son's outline against the fire and the smoke behind him. And he said, "Jump." And his son, all he could see was darkness. He said, "But Daddy, I can't see you." And the father said, "But I can see you. Jump." And he did. And they were safe there together. That, to me, is the situation that we're in. Exactly the same situation. God sees us, even when we can't always see exactly what it is that he wants for us or where he wants, but he says that you need to trust me and you need to make that leap of faith. You need to get from where you are to where God wants you to be. And oftentimes that requires that leap of faith. And it requires us trusting that he will be ready to catch us and take us into his arms and make us into the people that he created us to be. So my message for you today is to be attentive to the Spirit and to be patient, because sometimes it isn't exactly clear. Sometimes he says wait, sometimes he says no. Be attentive to the Spirit, but always be ready and willing when God finally does say to you, jump. Let's pray. Lord, you have been empowering your children and guiding them for thousands of years. We are in a long line of the faithful servants that you have called to be a part of your mission and ministry in the world. Bless us as we seek to be faithful to that, knowing that we're not always going to get it 100% right, but that is our desire. Our desire is to love you. Our desire is to follow, to surrender to you and to your will, for us, for our church, for our community. For we pray these things in Jesus' name.